Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic, the podcast dedicated to all things strange and paranormal. I am so excited for tonight's episode because this is the special Q&A episode, which I like to do every couple of months. I save up all your questions I get from all over the world, and I just do this fun question and answer format. And I'm still blown away that I get questions from literally all over the world. That just still, when I think about it, thank each and every one of you who is taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to this show. So no guest this week. They will be returning next week, but we are going to dive into some interesting questions tonight. But I want to send two special shout outs. First to my buddy Steven, who I know is listening. He has listened to every episode and he is probably plugging away at work right now. And Steven, hope you get home and can relax and enjoy the rest of your night. Love you, brother man. And to Jeremy. Jeremy Ardmore Threads is a page that you have to visit on eBay because Jeremy has your back, whether you're looking for sports memorabilia, whether you're looking for ladies' clothing, whether you're looking for men's clothing. He's got just about the entire market cornered on anything clothing oriented. So if you want to hit up his page, look for Jeremy_presents_chances_R and find him and check out his page. You will not be disappointed. That's Jeremy Ardmore Threads on eBay. We have some fun questions tonight, and I'm going to start off with something that's very topical because I think we have all watched this unfold on the news. This is a question I just got this morning, and Pam asks, what are your thoughts on the Titanic submarine sinking? I think she means specifically, do I believe there is a paranormal tie? And I have to say, yes, I do. I learned something new about this submarine sinking, and I don't know how many of you know this, but apparently the captain who was on board that vessel is married to the great-great-granddaughter of two passengers who died on the Titanic. And think about what the Titanic was. It was a luxury vessel reserved for the elite. What was this submarine? A luxury vessel reserved for the super elite at $250,000 per seat. And I'm not saying that ghosts pulled the ship down and caused a wreck. What I'm saying is I believe there are energies there that do not want the Titanic to become sort of a zoo, if you will, for tourists just to dive down and take selfies and take snapshots. So anytime you're going to enter a space that has an energy which is overrun by trauma, you are opening yourself up to potential trauma yourself. And I believe that is what happened in the case of this submarine. I think there was something in the paranormal realm at play. And as you've seen, the vessel was only 1,600 feet away from the Titanic itself before it imploded. I myself, for example, every time I've gone to Gettysburg, I've had a severe paranormal experience, and there was a lot of trauma on that battlefield. So you just have to be very careful if you're entering an environment where something of great loss occurred, because you're definitely opening yourself up for a potential paranormal experience. Question number two, Barbara asks if I've ever charged to investigate. That is actually a very interesting question. I have in the past talked about, I believe on this show, when I was living in New York, psychic Grace and I went to an apartment, and the lady and the husband were very wealthy, and they actually owned the theater on top of the apartment. And they we're experiencing something really negative in this space. It was actually an Airbnb space. So we went in and we felt what they were talking about, what they were experiencing. And in essence, Gracie and I were able to get rid of the paranormal activity in this apartment building, which was attached to a theater. And we had everything from lights flickering to strange noises and things of that nature. But when we were done, yes, there was a charge because we, now let me clarify this. We don't normally do that, but this was a special request by the owner. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, they had a lot of money, so they were willing to throw it around and they're like, hey, will you come do this? And this is what we're willing to pay. So we did take that offer, but normally I would not charge to do something like that. But yes, in the past, that has happened. Question number three. Eric asks, do I believe in reptilian aliens? And this is actually really cool. Very timely, as opposed to, now I'm going to break it down. There are many species of aliens which are purported to exist. There are, for example, Pleiadians who look very much like Norwegians, but maybe just a little off. And then there are the grays, which are the aliens you will typically see in movies that look, you know, they have the oblong heads with the big eyes, and they're the ones that are taking people and doing experiments. But do I believe in the reptilian race, which is known to be the very aggressive race? Let's just say the non-friendly race. And I have to say, based on readings I've done, based on a lot of deep diving on videos, I have to say there's something to it, because that is what the series V was based on in the 1980s. And I happen to have Jane Badler from that very television series coming back on the podcast in July. So I felt this question was very timely because I had literally just wrote her the other day. And this is a question I've had saved up. So kudos to you, Eric. Rance asks, hold on. Sorry about this. I do not have my glasses. I'm squinting. Here we go. Rance asks, This is fun because this is a non-paranormal question. What my latest toy finds are. And thank you, Rance. This is the only, I believe, non-paranormal question of the group. But I've got some cool new toys that I have, you know, cherry-picked out from flea markets, one of which is a Ghostbusters knockoff line called the Spook Chasers from Sweden. They were never released in the United States because Columbia Pictures found out about them, and they were like, hell no, you're not marketing those here. They look almost identical to the real Ghostbusters line, but just a few tweaks so they don't look exactly like Egon, Ray, Winston, and Peter. But I have three of the four, and these are just, they're almost non-existent to find here in the United States. So I was very happy to acquire these from someone in Sweden, and they're really cool. And the other, I guess the latest, was just over the weekend, actually, last weekend, I acquired a figure which was a knockoff of a Masters of the Universe figure called Skeletor, but this was known as Skullman. It was a figure that came out by Remco. And if you see this figure, it's actually really cool, but it's clearly a Skeletor knockoff, complete with like almost the exact body mold from Masters of the Universe. And Remco was actually sued by the Masters of the Universe line for their striking similarity to their line. But I was very happy to get Skullman at a great price because he is not cheap either. So thank you, Rance, for that question. That was actually a lot of fun. I like getting a toy question whenever. Maya asks, what are my thoughts on psychomantiums? And I, you know, it's funny, I get this question a lot, and I've actually talked about this a few times in the podcast. And psychomantiums, for those who are unaware, are used to communicate with the other side. What you do is you set up a mirror in your room or in a space and you enclose it. Usually a lot of people put black sheets or heavy cloths around it. You set up a chair in that space and you make sure no light whatsoever is permeating the space. And if you stare long enough in the psychomantium, images from the other side, are known to appear. Got choked up there for a second. Are known to appear. And I think psychomantiums are extremely dangerous. They can actually affect you mentally and physically. And if you talk to demonologists or those in the paranormal field, they would not recommend you building a psychomantium in your home or your space and using it, because it can literally affect your sanity. It really can. And I've known people who've had experiences with a psychomantium and they have never been good. So just beware. Number six, Luke asks, I love this question. And I want to throw this question out to all of you who are listening. Let me know. Luke asks, who would you recast as the Ghostbusters if you were producing the film? I love this question. And it really made me think, who would I cast as the new Ghostbusters? Here's my thoughts on Ghostbusters. I think you need people who have that comedic timing, who are veterans of doing comedy, because that is my only point of contention with the new Ghostbusters film that's coming out. I did enjoy it, but I thought that, what's his name? I can't believe now I'm blanking on his name. Paul Rudd. I thought Paul Rudd was basically the comedic relief of the entire movie, as opposed to in the original Ghostbusters, when it was clearly Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, the entire cast were hilarious. So you have to have very strong comedic actors in these roles. So I picked five, which I thought could potentially play the parts in an updated version, the knockoff version, I guess we could say. But I would personally cast Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, either Marlon Wayans or Craig Robinson from The Office to play Winston. And I'm going to throw a wild card into this group, Emma Stone as a Ray type character, because Emma Stone gets comedy. She understands how to make a scene funny. And I think she would be perfect playing the Ray type character who's really enthusiastic about the paranormals and pushes the others into these situations. So those are my top picks. I think Ben Stiller could potentially play like the Egon type character, and then maybe Vince Vaughn as Peter Venkman. So Vince Vaughn as Venkman, Ben Stiller as Egon, either Marlon Wayans or Craig Robinson as Winston, and Emma Stone as the Ray-esque character. Obviously, she'd have to be renamed something, but that's who I'm going to go with in a Ghostbusters relaunch / remake. Question seven. Sonia asks, what are my thoughts on the elevator game? The elevator game is something that I was just reminded of as I read this email last week. And essentially what the elevator game is you take the elevator in a very specific sequence. And at the end of this game, you are supposedly, if you do it successfully, are supposed to be let off into another dimension. And there are people who have had really strange experiences attempting to play the elevator game. Now, I don't necessarily think that this game is going to propel anyone into a different dimension, but I do think paranormal energies can get stirred up playing a game with that type of intention behind it. And if you want to know what sequence you're supposed to play it, just look up the elevator game online and you can maybe try it for yourself. And speaking of games, I lumped these two questions together because Riley asks, what are my thoughts on the corner game? The corner game, roughly the same premise. You're supposed to get you and three of your friends and you go to each corner of a room you turn off all the lights and you do very specific movements. Through those specific movements, if you do them correctly, there is supposedly a demon which will present itself in the middle of the room. Do I believe it's possible? Sure. Would I play it? Absolutely not. I'm not going to play any game that could potentially summon a demon. So, Riley, I don't think you should either, if that's why you're asking me. Number 9, Joe asks, can trees be haunted? Yes, they can. I've done an episode on where I've covered trees, like haunted trees. And just to name one, there's one right here in Pennsylvania called the Devil's Tree on Cossert Road. I've been to it, and I put my hand on the tree, and I swear I got this almost electric pulse shoot right through my hand, and my hand hurt for about 40 to 45 minutes. There are trees that carry a vibration. There are hanging trees where people were hung. Of course, they carry a negative vibration. There are trees that have had blood stained on the property, and they're absorbing that. So trees can absolutely carry vibrations from the other side. Christine asks, oh, here, I like this. Settle the orb debate, dust or spirits? Well, you know what, Christine? It depends where you are and where you're investigating. So, yeah, some are just dust that people mistake as orbs. There are also very definitive orb activities in haunted locations that do not act or behave as dust, and they move with intention. And what that is spirit energy trying to manifest into a full-bodied apparition. Full-bodied apparitions are very rare, which is why you just very often in haunted locations encounter the orbs. But that's what they are going for. They are trying to manifest into something bigger. So absolutely, there are orbs. They're out there. Jessa, I believe that's her name, Jessa, asks, what spirits are helpful to pray to? I think you're asking specifically about saints. And if you're asking me about saints, I think some that are helpful to pray to, especially if you're dealing with something potentially negative in the home, are Saint Michael, Saint Benedict, Padre Pio, and Saint Peter. A handful of those were exorcists when they lived on this earthly plane, and they are very helpful if you are dealing with something negative. Saint Michael is another good one to have. So that, I hope that helps, Jessa. Nick asks, do I believe in voodoo dolls and what my thoughts on Grigri dolls are? Very interesting question. Grigri dolls, for those unaware, are found in New Orleans and they fall under the umbrella of a voodoo doll, which is why they are often lumped together. Yeah, I believe in the possibility that a doll can be used in witchcraft for evil intent. Not just any doll. The reason I say possibility is that you're not going to go into any, you know, thrift store in Louisiana and pick up one of their voodoo dolls they're selling in the dollar bin and something's going to work. But do I believe you can use a doll during a ritual to then manifest into what they call voodoo? Absolutely. And it is done and has been done. So yes, voodoo dolls are real. They should not be used lightly. And if you have performed a ritual, it can and will harm someone, if not you. So be careful if you're messing around with voodoo or Grigri dolls. And finally, number 13, Nate asks, I just moved into an apartment and I hear laughing sometimes from the back bedroom and I'm on the 10th floor. So no one is around and the apartment has no tenants below. What can and should I do? Great question, Nate. And actually, please keep me updated after I, offer some advice to you. Nate, if you're experiencing sounds, that's definitely something trying to get your attention, whether earthbound, spirit, or beyond. And what you can do is, well, there's a few things. I always believe in holy water. I know that's very powerful, and it can really weaken and make something go away if you're really bothered by it. You can also set up a barrier via white sage and simply light it and go around your apartment and simply say, "Nothing negative may enter this space," and cover every inch of your apartment. You can really go nuts if you want. If you really want to supercharge your place with armor and do holy water and sage and the Saint Michael prayer, which is very powerful, just look up the Saint Michael prayer online, and I think you will find that if you do this and you are steadfast, that the laughter will dissipate. There are some people, I wouldn't necessarily recommend you doing this, but people who are more experienced that can come in and cross a spirit over, whether it's lighting a candle and telling it to go into the light, or just simply getting somebody who is experienced in that. If you lived near me, I could probably help you out. But what I would recommend is what I said earlier. I would do the Saint Michael prayer. I would do the sage, and I would use holy water. Go to your local church. Holy water is always available in the back for free, so you can fill it up and use it. And I hope that helps you, and please keep me updated. And if any of you have any questions of a paranormal nature, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and ask away. I'm always thrilled and honored to ask your questions. And I want to hear your thoughts on who you would cast as the new Ghostbusters. But you know what? That's going to do it for this week. I had the lucky 13 questions until the next question and answer session. But next week, we're going to have a special guest. But for now, this is Brian Hobson for Footsteps in the Attic. We'll see you next week.